Chapter 92. He will tell me I'm wrong, if I make a mistake, apostrophe said Nicholas's friend. But whether I do or not, you'll be very much affected. Brother Ned, remembering the time when we were two friendless lads, and earned our first shilling in this great city. Apostrophe, the twins pressed each other's hands in silence, and in his own homely manner, Brother Charles related the particulars he had heard from Nicholas. The conversation which ensued was a long one, and when it was over, a secret conference of almost equal duration took place between Brother Ned and Tim Linkinwater in another room. It is no disparagement to Nicholas to say that before he had been closeted with the two brothers 10 minutes, he could only wave his hand at every fresh expression of kindness and sympathy, and sob like a little child. At length Brother Ned and Tim Linkinwater came back together, when Tim instantly walked up to Nicholas, and whispered in his ear in a very brief sentence, for Tim was ordinarily a man of few words, that he had taken down the address in the Strand, and would call upon him that evening, at 8. Having done which, Tim wiped his spectacles, and put them on, preparatory to hearing what more the brothers Cheeryble had got to say. Tim, apostrophe said Brother Charles, you understand that we have an intention of taking this young gentleman into the counting house? Apostrophe, Brother Ned remarked that Tim was aware of that intention, and quite approved of it, and Tim having nodded, and said he did, drew himself up and looked particularly fat, and very important. After which, there was a profound silence. I'm not coming an hour later in the morning, you know, apostrophe said Tim, breaking out all at once, and looking very resolute. I'm not going to sleep in the fresh air, no, nor I'm not going into the country either. A pretty thing at this time of day, certainly. Foh! Apostrophe, damn your obstinacy, Tim Linkinwater, apostrophe said Brother Charles, looking at him without the faintest spark of anger, and with a countenance radiant with attachment to the old clerk. Damn your obstinacy, Tim Linkinwater, what do you mean, sir? Apostrophe, it's 44 year, apostrophe said Tim, making a calculation in the air with his pen, and drawing an imaginary line, before he cast it up, 44 year, next May, since I first kept the books of Cheeryble, brothers. I've opened the safe every morning all that time, Sundays excepted, as the clock struck 9, and gone over the house every night at 10:30, except on foreign post nights, and then 20 minutes before 12, to see the doors fastened, and the fires out. I've never slept out of the back attic one single night. There's the same mignonette box in the middle of the window, and the same 4 flower pots, 2 on each side, that I brought with me when I first came. There and I've said it again and again, and I'll maintain it there and such a square as this in the world. I know there and, apostrophe said Tim, with sudden energy, and looking sternly about him. Not one. For business or pleasure, in summer time or winter I don't care which, there's nothing like it. There's not such a spring in England as the pump under the archway. There's not such a view in England as the view out of my window. I've seen it every morning before I shaved, and I ought to know something about it. I have slept in that room, apostrophe added Tim, sinking his voice a little, for 44 year, and if it wasn't inconvenient, and didn't interfere with business, I should request leave to die there. Apostrophe, damn you, Tim Linkinwater, how dare you talk about dying? Apostrophe roared the twins by one impulse, and blowing their old noses violently. That's what I've got to say, Mr. Edwin and Mr. Charles, apostrophe said Tim, squaring his shoulders again. This isn't the first time you've talked about superannuating me. But, if you please, we'll make it the last, and drop the subject forevermore. Apostrophe, with these words, Tim Linkinwater stalked out, and shut himself up in his glass case, with the air of a man who had had his say, and was thoroughly resolved, not to be put down. The brothers interchanged looks, and coughed some half dozen times without speaking. He must be done something with, Brother Ned, apostrophe said the other, warmly, we must disregard his old scruples. They can't be tolerated, or borne. He must be made a partner, Brother Ned, and if he won't submit to it peaceably, we must have recourse to violence. Apostrophe, quite right, apostrophe replied Brother Ned, nodding his head as a man thoroughly determined. Quite right, my dear brother. If he won't listen to reason, we must do it against his will, and show him that we are determined to exert our authority. We must quarrel with him, Brother Charles. Apostrophe, we must. We certainly must have a quarrel with Tim Linkinwater, apostrophe said the other. But in the meantime, my dear brother, we are keeping our young friend, and the poor lady and her daughter will be anxious for his return. So let us say goodbye for the present, and there, take care of that box, my dear sir, and no, not a word now, but be careful of the crossings and apostrophe, and with any disjointed and unconnected words which would prevent Nicholas from pouring forth his thanks, the brothers hurried him out, shaking hands with him all the way, and affecting very unsuccessfully they were poor hands at deception, to be wholly unconscious of the feelings that completely mastered him. Nicholas's heart was too full to allow of his turning into the street until he had recovered some composure. When he at last glided out of the dark doorway corner in which he had been compelled to halt, he caught a glimpse of the twins stealthily peeping in at one corner of the glass case, evidently undecided whether they should follow up their late attack without delay, or for the present postpone laying further siege to the inflexible Tim Linkinwater. To recount all the delight and wonder which the circumstances just detailed awakened at Miss La Creevy's, and all the things that were done, said, thought, expected, hoped, and prophesied in consequence, is beside the present course and purpose of these adventures. It is sufficient to state, in brief, that Mr. Timothy Linkinwater arrived, punctual to his appointment, that, oddity as he was, and jealous, as he was bound to be, of the proper exercise of his employer's most comprehensive liberality, he reported strongly and warmly in favor of Nicholas, and that, next day, he was appointed to the vacant stool in the counting house of Cheeryble Brothers, with a present salary of £120 a year. And I think, my dear brother, apostrophe said Nicholas's first friend, that if we were to let them that little cottage at Bow which is empty, at something under the usual rent, now? Eh, Brother Ned? Apostrophe, for nothing at all, apostrophe said Brother Ned. We are rich, and should be ashamed to touch the rent under such circumstances as these. Where is Tim Linkinwater? For nothing at all, my dear brother, for nothing at all. Apostrophe, perhaps it would be better to say something, Brother Ned, apostrophe suggested the other, mildly, it would help to preserve habits of frugality, you know, and remove any painful sense of overwhelming obligations. We might say £15, or £20, and if it was punctually paid, make it up to them in some other way. And I might secretly advance a small loan towards a little furniture, and you might secretly advance another small loan, Brother Ned. And if we find them doing well as we shall, there's no fear we can change the loans into gifts. Carefully, Brother Ned, and by degrees, and without pressing upon them too much. What do you say now, brother? Apostrophe, Brother Ned gave his hand upon it, and not only said it should be done, but had it done too, and, in one short week, Nicholas took possession of the stool, and Mrs. Nickleby and Kate took possession of the house, and all was hope, bustle, and light-heartedness. There surely never was such a week of discoveries, and surprises as the first week of that cottage. Every night when Nicholas came home, something new had been found out. One day it was a grapevine, and another day it was a boiler, and another day it was the key of the front parlor closet at the bottom of the water butt, and so on through 100 items. Then, this room was embellished with a muslin curtain, and that room was rendered quite elegant by a window blind, and such improvements were made, as no one would have supposed possible. Then there was Miss La Creevy, who had come out in the omnibus, to stop a day or two and help, and who was perpetually losing a very small brown paper parcel of tin tacks and a very large hammer, and running about with her sleeves tucked up at the wrists, and falling off pairs of steps and hurting herself very much, and Mrs. Nickleby, who talked incessantly, and did something now and then, but not often, and Kate, who busied herself noiselessly everywhere, and was pleased with everything, and Smike, who made the garden a perfect wonder to look upon, and Nicholas, who helped and encouraged them everyone, all the peace and cheerfulness of home restored, with such new zest imparted to every frugal pleasure, and such delight to every hour of meeting, as misfortune and separation alone could give. In short, the poor Nicklebys were social and happy, while the rich Nickleby was alone and miserable. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.